please, to the book of Luke, the 18th chapter. Luke chapter 18, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1101, page 1101, beginning with the 18th verse, we'll read responsively through the 27th verse. I'm going to stand, as we always do, for the reading of the wonderful Word of God. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Let's pray. Father, we're wonderfully privileged here to be able to be a part of this, the greatest church upon the face of the earth. Help us to somewhat at least realize our privilege. Help us to realize, along with the privilege, to also realize our responsibility. And the chief responsibility we have just now is to hear what's preached. Help us to hear it. Help us to acknowledge the things that we ought to do with our lives as a result of the message. Bless, we pray, with thy power, our preacher, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I always like it when Ms. Colson sings because the microphone's way down here. I feel like the late Wilt Chamberlain. So I don't know how he feels tonight, but I always feel real masculine when I get up. Tonight I want to read for you just a verse or two. I read a while ago without your turning to it. I read this: "It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God." Now, I've heard all the liberals talk about, all the evangelicals talk about, this means that the needle was where the gate, and the camel had to get down his knees to go through the gate. Well, don't you think God could use the word gate? It's just a very simple word. It's talking about a needle. It's talking, in fact, the Bible uses the word needle elsewhere. It's not talking about a gate. It says it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. That's why I gave you back the $150,000. I want to get to heaven. I'm trying to work my way there and hold out faithful to the end. I want to speak tonight on the subject, threading the needle. Threading the needle. I'm talking to some folks tonight who have to have a miracle if you make it. There's some things in your life that if they're done, God's going to have to do them. I can't do them. You can't do them. It is humanly impossible to get them done. I'd like to encourage you tonight concerning the great God that we have. I'd like tonight to increase your hopes, strengthen your courage, lift up your dreams, enlarge your faith as we discuss the subject, threading the needle. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of the book. I come tonight to do what I can to increase the faith of our people and realize exactly what a great God that we have. Bless, I pray, the next few moments to the encouragement of thy people, the strengthening of our faith, the enlargement of our vision, and the lifting of our horizons for the future. Do something tonight to us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned a while ago that we're going to try to encourage you tonight concerning the greatness of our God. A rich man had come to Jesus. And don't leave me now. Follow me carefully, everybody. A rich man had come to Jesus. And he asked Jesus what he could do to inherit the kingdom of God. And Jesus, knowing his life and so forth, said, you know the Ten Commandments. And he listed a few of them and said, keep these. Well, he said, I've kept these from my childhood up, which of course he is lying because nobody can accurately and totally keep the Ten Commandments. But he said, all these have I done from my childhood. And Jesus said, okay, then go sell all you have and give to the poor. And he said, I can't do that. And so finally, Jesus said, listen to me now, listen to me. He said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. But I want to remind you that there's something else he said right down a few words after that. He said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. So what Jesus is saying here is that he's the needle threader. It's exactly what he's saying. He's saying man can't thread the needle, but God can thread the needle. And tonight I want to talk to you on that subject, threading of the needle. I want to say again and again, the needle can be threaded. I said the needle can be threaded. You have some things tonight that you need done in your life. It'll take the supernatural work of God to do them. Let me tell you, the needle can be threaded. There's something in your life you say, I don't see how in the world it could ever take place. But the Bible says the things that are impossible with man or men are possible with God. Let me talk to you for a little while or just give you a few of the needle-threading scriptures, if you please. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, God came to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old wife and said, guess what you're going to have? And they said, what? And God said, you are going to have a baby. Abraham said, yes, my name is Napoleon. I just got through fighting the Battle of Waterloo. Going to have a baby. And he laughed. And Sarah laughed, just like you'd laugh. We wouldn't. We'd cry, wouldn't we? But they laughed. And it was reminded them, I quote Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, I love that. I love that. We serve a needle-threading God. Philippians 4:19, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We serve a needle-threading God. Luke 18:27, read it a while ago. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. That means we serve a needle-threading God. Matthew 17:20, nothing shall be impossible unto you. In Mark 10:27, with God all things are possible. And in Luke 1:37, with God nothing shall be impossible. We serve a needle-threading God. In Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. In Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him. In Genesis 18:14, I quoted a while ago, is anything too hard for the Lord? And that question is answered in Jeremiah 32:17, there is nothing too hard for God. Did you get that? There is nothing too hard for God. That means whatever need you have is within the capabilities of our great omnipotent God. There is nothing too hard for God.
The question is echoed back in Genesis 18:14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And God answers that in Jeremiah 32:17. There's nothing too hard for God. And then in Matthew 28:19, all powers given unto me in heaven and earth. Let me tell you tonight, our God is the God of the impossible, and our God is a needle-threading God. He threaded the needle when I was called to pastor this church. This church had never heard of me. I'd never heard of this church. When they contacted me, Hammond, Indiana, I didn't even know where Hammond was. I knew it was Indiana. I didn't know a single thing about Hammond. I figured they made Hammond organs here. They don't make Hammond organs here. They make Sut here. But I did not know. And a little Texas preacher, informal, hell-raising, barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling, hellfire and damnation preacher, was called to this very formal First Baptist Church in downtown Hammond, a very influential church. I'm saying God threaded the needle. God threaded the needle when he built this great church. God threaded the needle when he gave us Hiles Anderson College. I went and told him I wanted to buy the college and offered him $2.5 million and didn't have a single dime. But I've got news for you. All things are possible to him that believe it. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He threaded the needle when he cared for us financially all through these years. And a few years ago, we burned the mortgage in our church and our City Baptist School and our City Baptist High School and Hammond Baptist Schools and Baptist City and Hiles Anderson College and Mausoleum and Cemetery and a whole cotton-picking bunch of it, bless God, is debt-free tonight because our God threaded the needle. Now, you're looking tonight at a threaded needle. I mean, a little old guy from the ghettos of Southwest Dallas that dad was an alcoholic and no way was I blue blood. Just a little a poor kid in Southwest Dallas pastoring the largest church in America. Brother, that's threading the needle as far as I'm concerned. But I won't tell you tonight, I don't know what your need is. I don't know what your heartache is. I don't know what your problem is. But I want you to know it is not beyond the possibilities of our omnipotent God. I say our God is a needle-threading God. Let me remind you that the same wind that dried the waters of the Red Sea blows still yet today. Let me remind you that God has other ravens to feed his Elijahs today. Let me remind you that God still has manna in his cabinets where he can pour down his manna from heaven. I'm saying, let me remind you, his quiver still has ample arrows for his battles. Let me remind you, his coffers are not bare. Let me remind you, his Shekinah still hovers over the mercy seat in the heavens. Let me remind you, he still has angels that he can use to protect his own. Let me remind you, he still can sweeten Mara's bitter waters. Let me remind you, he still owns the earthquakes, the whirlwinds, and the floods are his command. Let me remind you, he still meets his own at the juniper tree in times of discouragement. Let me remind you, there's more water in Horeb's rock. I'm saying our God can thread the needle tonight. Whatever your need, whatever your miracle is, we have a miracle-working God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow turning, and our God tonight is a needle-threading God. Let me remind you that God is not old and feeble. He is not retired because of Alzheimer's. He still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's still in the gold and the silver business. He still has healing balm. His kitchen still has fishes and loaves enough to feed 5,000 or 25,000 or 25 million or the whole country when the Y2K time comes. I'm telling you tonight, there is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing impossible with God. All things are possible to him that believeth. I want to raise your eyes in the night. I want you to get a whole big bundle of faith tonight and say, blessed be God. We have the God of Abraham. We have the God of Isaac. We have the God of Moses. He is our God. He is a needle-threading God. He can still put coins in the mouth of a fish. His death angel still lives. He has a few more Red Seas in his arsenal, and the needle can be threaded. Let me remind you tonight that the God who raised Lazarus from the dead is the same God I talked to you a while ago. Let me remind you, the eye-opening and ear-unstopping God is the same God we prayed to a few moments ago. Let me remind you, the God of Mount Sinai is my God. Let me remind you, the God that with his own hand wrote the Ten Commandments and handed them to Moses on Mount Sinai, written in the hand of Almighty God. Let me remind you, hallelujah, he lives tonight. He's still alive, and he is a needle-threading God. The needle can be threaded. Let me remind you, the God of Mount Zion is my God. The God of Mount Carmel, Elijah prayed down the fire from heaven. That God is my God. The God of Mount Megiddo, where Jesus will come someday and put down the Antichrist and establish his kingdom on earth, where the knowledge of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That God is my God. Let me remind you, the God of Mount of Olives is my God. Elijah's God lives today. The burning bush God is my God. The God of Moses' rod is my God. The sun-stopping God for Joshua is my God. Gideon's God lives today. Shamgar's God lives today. Dwight Moody's God lives today. Billy Sunday's God lives today. Charles Spurgeon's God lives today. Savonarola's God lives today. Martin Luther's God lives today. And whatever your needle is, God is a needle-threading God. Let me remind you that John Bunyan's God is my God. I said he's my God. I said he's my God. I said he's my God. And this same great, powerful, needle-threading God is likewise your God. The God of daily manna is my God. The God who fell the walls of Jericho is my God. The God of the brazen serpent is my God. The God of Jonah's whale and preserving Jonah in the belly of the whale, he is my God. The God of Pentecost is my God. The God who fed the 5,000 is my God. I'm saying tonight, the needle can be threaded. Got any rivers that seem to be uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible. He knows a thousand ways to make a way for you. On the last two or three, a couple of weeks of 1999, as we enter into 2000, I want you to know the omnipotent, omniscient King of Kings and Lord of Lords is my God. And let's expect him to thread some needles for us in the next millennium. The God of the Pool of Bethesda is my God. The God who opened blind eyes is my God. The God who loosed fettered tongues is my God. The God who on Monday morning created the earth with no human architect to draw a plan and no quarryman to blast the foundation stones and no carpenter to hew out the beams and no mason to trowel a wall, and no interior decorator to beautify its space, and no power plant to give it light. That God is my God tonight, and the needle can be threaded. The God who on Tuesday morning divided the firmament by the wave of his hand, and sends part of it into rivers, and part into lakes, and part into seas, and part into oceans. That God is my God. The God who on that Tuesday morning lifted some in the clouds and does it as easily as you would lift up a glass of water and get a drink. That God is my God. Hey, we serve the true and the living God. The God who's all powerful, with whom there is nothing impossible. All things are possible to him, and he can thread your needle. Our God is the God who on Wednesday morning gave birth to gardening, laid a carpet of grass with the color of emerald, stretched a palm tree with an umbrella of leaves. The God who on Wednesday morning caught the tears of the weeping willow and gave us the beauty of the daffodil and the scent of the gardenia and the taste of the pear and the shade of the oak and the juice of the grape. That's my God tonight. The God who spread a banquet of fruit and herbs on earth before the arrival of its first guest. That is my God tonight. Let me lift your opinion of our great God. Let me raise your faith in our great God. God in rivers, I said, that seem to be uncrossable. God in heaven! He's the God that caused the waters of the Red Sea to dry. He's the God that caused the waters of the Jordan River to part. He's the God that caused the walls of Jericho to first to crumble. And He is the same God we have tonight. I talked to Him today. Same God. The God who on Thursday morning caused the moon's white sail to appear and gave us a sun that is 400,000 times heavier than our earth, and gave us stars and the street lamps of heaven and the chandeliers of earth. He is my God. And the God who on Friday morning inhabited the seas with swimming creatures of all colors and all shapes, dashing and splashing through the ponds and lakes and seas, who populated the sky with wings of eagles, doves, robins, and larks to carol and chirp and coo and twitter, who scattered cattle and excursions to fill the earth. He's my God. I like to take a walk sometime. I like to take a walk and see the birds and hear them as they sing and say, my God did that. I like to watch little scampering squirrels climb a tree and try to find its food for the day. And I say, my God did that. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that it's our God that feeds that little squirrel. It's our God that feeds that little sparrow. And by the way, He probably can feed you no matter what happens Y2K after a while. Miss Allen, I would like you to come and visit our cave in case you need some help. The God who on Saturday morning made man as emperor of this great empire, His greatest creation, who made a heart that each day must lift 120 tons of weight. I hope mine keeps on doing that. A God who caused 500 muscles to be strung in the right place in our bodies. A God who constructed and placed over 250 bones at the right place. A God who distributed over 9 million nerves in the right place in our body. A God that gave us a voice that can make over 17 trillion sounds and placed in Him a living soul that can never die. He's my God tonight. The God of yesterday is today's God. The God of today is tomorrow's God. The God of the past is the God of the present. And the God of the present is the God of the future. And He's my God. I said He's my God. I said He's my God. Hallelujah, He's my God. And bless His name, He is your God too. There is no soul He cannot save. There is no Christian He cannot use. There is no battle He cannot win. There is no place He cannot send revival. There is no prayer He cannot answer. There is no problem He cannot solve. There is no church He cannot revive. There is no question He cannot answer. There is no need He cannot supply. There is no obstacle He cannot overcome. There is no sin He cannot forgive. There is no broken heart He cannot mend. There is no load He cannot lift. There is no hard heart He cannot soften. There's no life He cannot salvage. There's no disease He cannot heal. There is no marriage He cannot save. I said there's no marriage He cannot save. There is no river He cannot cross. There's no soul He cannot save. There's no tear He cannot dry. There is no wound He cannot heal. There is no miracle He cannot perform. There is no mountain He cannot tunnel through. There is no river He cannot forge. There is no enemy He cannot conquer. There is no victory He cannot win. There is no temptation that He cannot overcome. And no habit He cannot destroy. I said the needle can be threaded tonight. The disciples came to Jesus after He came back from the mountain. He had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Took Peter, James, and John with him. From there, they had this little preview of the millennial kingdom. While they were gone, the other disciples on earth a man came to them and said, "My son is possessed of a devil. What can you do?" And they could not do a thing. When Jesus came back, the man came to Jesus and said, "My son is possessed with the devil, tears his clothes and foams at the mouth. What can you do?" And Jesus said, "All things are possible." And they said, "We came to you, disciples," and they couldn't do anything. But Jesus said, get this, "This kind cometh by nothing but by prayer and fasting." How long has it been since you prayed all night? How long has it been since you prayed an hour? The truth is, from here on up, you are a fundamentalist. From here on down, you are an atheist. Somebody needs to learn to see the sunrise some morning while they're on their face begging for God's power and begging for God. This kind, I said, little pigmen kind, you can get those with now and lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about treading an eagle tonight. I'm talking about God's miracles. I'm talking about old-fashioned power. That comes by nothing but by prayer and fasting. An eagle can be treaded. I saw East Texas' most prolific drunkard saved. I saw a former owner of a former American Baptist church become the greatest soul-winning church in history. The needle can be threaded. I saw a blind man, some of you were there, at the Civic Center. One Sunday night, while I was up preaching, I saw a man who was blind, been blind all his life, jumped up back in the back and said, "I can see! I can see! I can see!" He ran down the aisle, walked on the platform, looked at me and said, "You're not as good looking as I thought you were." Now you listen carefully. A little girl sat right over here one night, a Moody Bible Institute student. I did not know the story. I preached something like I'm preaching tonight. We serve a miracle-working God. I got a letter from her. Didn't know who she was. Still don't know who she is, except I got a letter from her. "Dear Dr. Hiles, I came with a group of Moody Bible Institute students to hear you preach on Sunday night. You preached on miracles." She said, "I had an eye blind. The nerves were dead. The eye was dead. No way in the world that doctors could even give restore any of my vision to me." She said, "While you were preaching that night, all of a sudden, God opened that blind eye, and I could see." You say, now hold it. I'm not going to have Oral Roberts for a revival meeting. I'm simply saying, my God is the same God that unstopped the air, deaf ears, and opened blind eyes, and caused the dumb to speak, and the lame leap like a hart, and the dead to rise, and the sick to get well. I'm saying He is a needle-threading God. Years ago, some of you old-timers have heard this story. A little lady in our church had brain tumor, malignant. She went over to one of the hospitals in Chicago, Wesley Hospital, or one of those hospitals, skyscraper hospitals in Chicago. In those days, the church was smaller, and I could visit all the sick people in the hospitals. And I went over to see her early one morning. She's going to have surgery that day. I walked in and chatted with her for a while. Had a little bottle of oil with me, and I was going to anoint her with oil. And so I started to pray, and before I prayed, the doctor came in and said, "Mister, would you step out, please? We have to get this lady ready for surgery." And I said, "Doctor, before we do, I'm praying for her." He said, "We don't have time for you to pray for her. Get out in the hallway and pray. We've got to get her ready for surgery." I said, "Doctor, we're going to pray before she leaves this room." He said, "Mister, I'm going to tell you the last time." I said, "Good. I'm tired of hearing it." He said, "I'll have you know I am the surgeon." And I said, "I'll have you know I am God's man." Oh, he began to fume, and he said to the lady, He said, ma'am, would you tell this reverend to go out in the hall while I get you ready for surgery?
The sweet little lady said, doctor, would you go out in the hall while he anoints the oil and prays for me? He went out in the hall. He was a good Christian man because he was offering up a burnt sacrifice out in the hallway. I prayed. I said, oh God, there's a doctor out there, a heathen doctor, sure needs to find out that you're alive. You're on the spot. Oh God in heaven, remove this tumor from this dear lady. Doctor came back in, got ready for surgery. Took up surgery. He said, it'll be 6 hours. In less than an hour, he came rolling her back down the hallway. And I said, doctor, is surgery over? Didn't have surgery. Didn't have surgery. I said, why? Tumor's gone. Tumor's gone. I said, yeah. I'm telling you, we surveyed the Euphrates God tonight. The needle can be threaded. I saw an alcoholic on 150th Street in Columbia lift a toast to Jesus one night and say, Jesus, this is what I think of you. I toast you tonight. I saw that on Thursday night. I saw him baptized in our baptistry. The next Sunday night, I'm saying, God can thread the needle. The needle can be threaded. I saw Mrs. Howes' father get saved after 17 years. Mrs. Howes prayed for him. One of the best men ever met, one of the hardest men about salvation. Not interested in Jesus at all. I saw him on his 70th birthday, bow his head, pray the sinner's prayer, and that night about midnight, he was baptized in the likeness of Christ Jesus. I saw revival break out in a Canadian pastor's conference. The needle can be threaded. I saw a ghetto-bound poor kid become pastor of America's greatest church. The needle can be threaded. I saw revival break out in an ecumenical Southern Baptist school years ago. The needle can be threaded. I saw a man holding his handgun in the aisle over here, walking down here with a .357 Magnum and a contract to murder me in the service that night. I saw him come down and show me that $65,000 contract. He was going to murder me that night in the service and had it planned where he could escape and nobody would capture him. And he said, I heard you preach tonight. I decided not to murder you. Here's the contract. Here's the gun. I want to get saved. The needle can be threaded. I saw a new dancing club across over here close because the owner got saved. The needle can be threaded. I saw a prostitute walking the streets or who walked the streets of Calumet City for 20 years. Get saved. Have her life transformed. And quite often she brings people down this aisle trusting Christ as Savior. I say the needle can be threaded. Got any rivers that seem to be uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible. He knows a thousand ways to make a way for you. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine. All the way and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is follow. Can a rich man be saved? Why, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get saved. Well, who then can be saved? And then he said, and I read the text, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. I dare you tonight, I double dog dare you tonight, to take what you need that man can't do, doctors can't do, preachers can't do, mother can't do, father can't do, husband can't do, and wife can't do. I double dog dare you tonight to grab a hold of the horns of the altar and you look at God in heaven and say, if you're a needle threading God, I'm going to hang on to you to thread the needle in 2000 when the new millennium starts. What a God. What a God. The needle threader. Our Heavenly Father.